5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It is indeed the new Panic Room episode 114. Can you believe it? It is Thursday night, 9:30 Central, and other times in other time zones. I still have not got the hang of that, obviously, but you never know. I might one of these days. But anywho, and because I've missed, I normally have a little bit of rant, but I want to involve Xtina in this one. So, do I? I don't know. Yeah, I think we will. Let's bring Xtina on, shall we? Well, hello.
Hi, hello. You know, because
come
you said
on,
you're
join
going
in.
To, yeah, no, I am, because you said you wanted to include me in this rant. I'm a little worried. I have no idea, you know, what we're going to.
Well, you never. It's funny because I think that's why our show is so spontaneous. You know, because we don't know what's happening. I think
exactly.
People think, oh,
yeah.
Right. You know, they must really work hard at the spontaneity, but it's just the fact that we turn up and I never know what's going on. I don't even know who's on, to be honest, except me. I know I'm on largely.
Right, and here
you,
I am.
Largely,
yeah.
You turn up most of the time, but other than that, I don't know. Anywho. I wanted to talk about sex robots for a few minutes.
Okay.
It's but no, that you see, you don't mock.
No.
Mocketh ye not. It's funny in here in Houston. It's been in the news. It's been big news this week. Because one of these foreign companies that make sex robots. Back in my day, it was those very bad inflatable dollies that were just like bad balloons. And we used to say, four million years of evolution. Sorry about that, creationists. Thoughts and prayers. 4 million years of evolution, and we're shagging balloons. But now they have these robots, and they're pretty realistic, and they are designed to be kind of interactive, and some of them you actually have to woo them, which really you have to get them in the mood, which to me defeats the whole point of having a sex robot.
It could be a sure thing, yeah.
Get married. if you want to have to cajole somebody into sex, get married. That's what that's about. The sex robot should be there, right? All right, darling, spread them, and off you go. But there's, and I'm gonna name names here, I hope he's listening. Text Christopher if you're listening. Thoughts and prayers, mate. He's some local do-gooder. I think he's aiming to get into Congress or something, which would be nice, but he's just a bit of a tit, to be honest with you. He's riding on the back of the Stop Sex Trafficking in Texas ticket, which is a big problem in Texas, Houston specifically. I think he's like the sex trafficking capital of America. It's a big, big problem here, which is brilliant. I'm all for that. Stop that, yeah? And yeah, he was at the town hall. He was Houston town hall yesterday with his bunch of Bible bashing cronies protesting against the sex robot brothel that was supposedly something that applied for permission to open up there. As it turns out, they're still allowed to open it as a store, but not as a brothel. To be fair. I mean, the whole try before you buy thing. I mean, you wouldn't want to buy the shop model, would you? Really?
No.
we'll knock $100 off, but it's been used a bit, and you'll have to swill it out when you get home. Okay, can I have a boxed one from the back, please?
I'm going to need more than $100 off on that one.
Exactly. They had a Genius Bar. And you take it, you see all these people queuing up with a sex robot on their arm. Because it's not, it keeps turning me down for sex. It's always got a headache or it's on its period, But this guy...
She's going to wash his hair tonight.
Exactly, she's washing her hair, and there's an incredibly racist joke we used to tell many, many years ago. And I will tell it off the air, obviously not on the air, but it's funny. But this guy, I text Christopher and I, we crossed paths previously. He had a whole gig a few years ago about bringing Hollywood to Houston. And the guy is a con man. He got the Houston film community excited, and he had all these big meetings. And he was going to bring Hollywood. And it was a complete waste of everyone's time. He never brought anybody anywhere. Yeah? Now he's on this gig. I think for me, I do get some of the point, yeah? I mean, they're saying it will encourage sex trafficking. No, it won't. If people are shagging robots, they're not shagging real people. Yeah? If, your average everyday pervert is getting his kicks with a robot, he's less likely to solicit a prostitute, rape someone, attack children, et cetera, yeah? That's part of the argument for legalizing regular brothels. If these people have somewhere to go to satiate their desires, they're less likely to step over the line, But, if we don't want this sort of place in a nice neighborhood where it's going to attract a certain type of person, yeah? Mm-hmm. That I get. However, when people like Tex Christopher and I've been crossing swords with, I just realized he's in a relationship with Vicky Morelos. When they ride in on the religious ticket, this is an abomination. It's against God and it's evil and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's when it gets my back up. Yeah. If anybody's listening and you are a believer, etc. Thoughts and prayers. However, these people, it's I read the Bible. I mean, okay, granted it was many, many years ago, but I have read the Bible. And I do not remember seeing anywhere in it about sex robots.
No, no.
If anyone would like to call in and give me the you know, literally chapter and verse, is it Ecclesiasticals or John or whatever,
yeah.
or Deuteronomy perhaps, that said, thou shalt not sleep with sex robots, then fine, I will hold my hands up and say, yeah. But, you know, with the whole separation of church and state and that, it's just the piousness of these people. So I did a little bit of digging, actually, on Mr. Christopher. And here we go. Let's have a look at his Facebook page. And this is the pious, holier than thou, everybody, you know, he perverts and blah, 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 blah. Under sports on his Facebook page, he's got Power Girl Fitness, for example, he's following. Houston Texan Cheerleaders. Fit Girls for Life, with a picture of a very fit girl lifting her shirt up. Female fitness model. So we're getting a picture of this guy, yeah?
Right.
We're getting
right,
a picture
yeah.
of the sort of, and switched. I mean, it's funny. He's got three links to websites, yeah? Two of which don't work. One
mm-hmm.
of which is MySpace. Remember MySpace?
I
remember
do.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Tom actually unfriended me, so that's how unpopular I used to be.
Wow.
on his MySpace, he's saved pictures from Wicked Temptations, which is a lingerie and erotic wear and, funnily enough, sex toy catalogue, which I find wonderfully ironic, because what is a sex robot but a sex toy?
You're right. Yeah.
I am right. You know fucking well I'm right. So,
I do, yeah.
Some nice, maybe he picks these sort of, you know, backs from top dresses out for Vicky to wear to spice up their love life. I don't know. But he's obviously picked some out there and saved the pictures alongside him with pictures of various people. And he's smiling and wearing his cowboy hat. And he looks like a Thunderbird puppet, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, big shout out for Tex Christopher. God bless him. You're a hypocrite, sir. Hopefully he's listening. Hopefully he will listen to the show. Hopefully he'll give me a ring.
We should tag him.
Let's go and have a beer.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, we should.
I did.
Yeah.
I've hashtagged him.
Yes. Nice.
And when the show is out on YouTube and iTunes, we'll tag him again so he can listen
gotcha.
In here. But it is, you know, and I had a quite ecumenical argument with some of his followers, this Vicky included, and it's funny that they just degenerate into, oh, we're praying for your soul. When they're losing the argument. So I just said, thank you so much. I'm going to sacrifice a goat to the good Lord Satan for you. Because fair's fair. Fair's
yeah.
fair. If they're going to go through all the trouble of including me in their prayers to baby Jesus
yeah.
at night, the least I can do is sacrifice a goat to Satan for them. So there you go. You know,
oh
I am a nice guy. I'm nice. I'm nothing if not fair. You know what I mean?
You are. I never thought
I
of it like that.
So, there you go. I mean, before, obviously, we do have guests. And we will ask C.R. Lemons, because she writes some racy stuff. I'm reading ahead here. And we're going to ask her opinion on sex robots. I mean, Xtina, what do you think? What's your take on sex robots?
Yuck, that I don't know. You know, the funny thing is my mom was a huge fan of the books about the tagline for these books she liked where it was like, you know, half machine, all man. And I used to tell her all the time about it. Yeah,
I
did.
I love
like,
it.
Oh my God, my mom's a freak. Yeah.
The thing that gets me is got Sex and the City, you know, I mean, when that was out, it's all vibrators and it's funny and rabbits and da 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 da. And yeah, women and vibrators is a thing, you know, but a guy,
right.
you know, whether it's a robot or a fleshlight, or I could name a number of items that I'm aware of through friends.
yeah.
As soon as you mention it's a guy, it's, oh, scrubby. I mean, it's this whole thing about masturbation. It's just. Oh, it's right. In fact, whether it's a meme or whether it's fake news or whatever, but Ted Cruz has allegedly been quotas saying that any form of, you know, sexual congress with oneself or sexual congress other than for procreation is against God.
Wow.
You know, there's just this whole stigma attached to it, and basically that's what the sex robot, it's masturbation.
You know, I grew up in church, in Baptist, in the, you know, very strict Baptist church, and my Sunday school teacher, the discussion came up of masturbation once, and she said that, it, you know, as far as her take went, as long as you weren't, what did she say, as long as you weren't lusting after anyone while you were masturbating, and you know, I thought that was interesting. You know, she was like, go for it.
They make it up.
Yeah.
They make it up. That's bullshit.
As they go along,
they just make it up.
Right?
You know, of course you're thinking of someone, you know.
Well,
they just make this shit. It's funny, my mother was very anti-masturbation. Very, you know, no, it's wrong, it's bad for you, and da-da-da-da-da. And which, to be fair, and they get confession time, it sort of fetishized it for me. And I'm gonna leave that right there. And as a neat segue, our first guest I'm gonna let you introduce her.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
You're
on our first segment. We have award-winning erotic romance thriller author and occasional naughty poet, which I love that part, the naughty poet, C.R. Lemons. Woo!
Kyle!
Hello, how was that for an introduction, C.R.? How was that?
It was an amazing introduction. I was.
And I have to. What is your take on sex robots?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, I think that you know, I'm all for people exploring their sexual side. I think the world would be a better place if people pleasured themselves more, allowed themselves to pleasure themselves with others, you know.
Right.
I think it's far from being, you know, we need to be more advanced with what they have out there, but, you know, I think that there are people that live in couples that are not very happy, so why not? I don't judge, you know, the older I get, the more experience I have, the less I judge people and what they do. Unless
I'm right with you. You do you, I'll do me, and that could be the end of it, I suppose.
Or,
yeah,
or in some cases, you do a sex robot. I mean, either way. But I'm very much live and let live. I don't apologize. If you, you know, if you are religious at all, you know, but the religious lot seem to love poking their nose into what other people do in bed. This whole thing about homosexuality, you know, it's against God. I've had arguments with religious people, and apart from what your old book tells you, you were supposed to think. Why do you believe that homosexuality is wrong? It's, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And we've heard all the fucking arguments. It's all bullshit,
yeah?
And it's the whole that man shall not lie with man. Yes, I can quote the Bible as well. I can quote Stephen King. I can quote Sly Bunker. I can quote my own work if I want. It's all just words. You know what I mean? And it's just that. But they hide behind the Bible, you know? And it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, although I think now it's sport, to be honest.
Definitely.
And you know, the only thing I have to say is when you do have the religious community, you know, getting together and saying, you know, everything that the Bible says this and the Bible says that. But what was one of the above all else, love each other as, you know, that whole thing right there. So, you know, it doesn't say anything about the homosexuals and, you know, don't love them or whatever. It just says love everybody. So that should be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. So.
Well, I had a recent Facebook post that I encountered that it was a fellow erotic author that she'd gotten shamed by one of her Christian friends, and you know, she was really shamed for it. And I just, you know, I've given her advice that it's really sad because most religious people that I come across and seem to be the most judgmental, and they also seem to know Bible verses like, you know, like I know Margarita or something, you know. I mean it's like I just don't, you know. And then I just told her, you know, how does it make you feel? I mean, you know, if you feel shameful, that's wrong. I mean, I understand, you know, I'm more of a karma believer, and I understand the fact that if you, you know, if you don't agree with something, you just keep your mouth shut and move on. It's not your place to make the other person feel bad about it, you know. And so, you know, I just had that experience. I've had my own experiences with being an erotic writer, dealing with people that want to look their nose down at me or whatever, and it's just, you know, I just shake my head and just think, you know, well, that's shameful, you know, and then mail them a book of mine.
send them the EPUB, I mean, when you get grown people, and these are supposedly adults, they quote the Bible verse, bloody, but, and then she said, oh, you know, make sure, you know, make sure you, what was it, take a asbestos suit, because it's going to be hot where you're going, and you're going to go to hell. And I said, do you realize, you know, threatening an atheist, a hardened atheist, with hell is a bit of a, to be fair, a hollow threat, to be honest. You know, whereas I don't care whether they have the same belief as me or not, but it really bugs them when you don't believe in all of that. And you say, well, okay, prove there's a God. And so look at the trees and a newborn baby and giraffes. For some reason, I don't know why giraffes specifically. You know, and it's just, that doesn't prove anything. It proves nothing. It just proves that there are giraffes. Can I just say, I do like giraffes. I'm not being giraffist, okay? I haven't picked giraffes out specifically. Okay, they're one of my favorite mammals. One of my favorite mammals. So just to throw that out there.
No, we don't hate on giraffes on this show. We have love for all of
love
God's
giraffes.
Creatures. Woo!
Oh, don't you start.
Yeah. I did. So
moving on. CR is here to talk to us about our book, Fractured Wings. And what a great tagline, I have to say. There's no giraffes in it, and I'm sorry about that. Tagline, after being brutally attacked, a woman discovers she's still being targeted. Who and why becomes her obsession? She will find out or die trying in this fast-paced psychological I do like a psychological thriller, I have to say.
Yes.
So, CR, tell us a little bit more about Fractured Wings.
Well, it is about a young woman who just graduated law school, and she kind of lives in a bubble. It's interesting we're talking about religion because it's this story is really, there's a lot of base out of small-town community and how, you know, when things happen to someone that are outside that bubble, you know, or doesn't fit their, you know, little square, they don't know how to deal with it, you know. And my particular character, she had pretty much her life in front of her. You know, her life was mapped out for her. Her dad was a judge, and she was moving on to the big city to be a lawyer. And anyway, the night that she was moving out of her house, she was brutally attacked. And so she went from this, you know, really positive, you know, never experienced really outside life to this really tragic thing that happened to her. And, you know, what turns out is this woman that you think is pretty much sheltered and taken care of, she actually is a very strong woman. When I first started writing the book, I thought she would be, she would actually, like, end up taking drugs or something like that. You know, and I'm not saying that people that take drugs are weak, but I thought she was going to, like, hit rock bottom, which some people do cope that way. But she ended up, you know, she's kind of fighting with me, saying that's not who I am. You know, I'm actually pretty strong, you know. And so, so she goes through and just, goes through that coping mechanism of depression and stuff like that. And then she comes out and she realizes that she's still being targeted. And so she finds it her mission to find out why. And she basically wants to just, say that this was done to me, but I'm going to fix it. And whenever I talk about the small town Christian, we were talking about Christian, I don't really touch base much on the Christian part of it, but it does, she's with her high school sweetheart, her parents, the judge and the church, community mom and they wanted her just to be quiet. Don't dress it. Just pull up your bootstraps and go. And that's just not how you can deal with something like that. And so, it ended up being a story that I just really wanted to tell. It just ended up probably being, out of all my books, the one I treasure the most.
I love the way you say that, you thought she was going to do this and that, because that is so true of, anything I've ever written,
right.
You go in with,
yeah.
This is what's going to happen, and this is the character, and then they totally, take over, and it does very much leave me wondering, where is the story coming from, because I'm not in control here,
Exactly. Well, that's what, that's what I had with her. I really thought she was going to, I really kind of wanted to go that route. I wanted her to go down a route of drugs and I thought it was going to take a storyline of her her father sending her away, you need to go to one of those drug getting her clean, trying to fix it, him trying to fix it, and
right.
But it didn't happen. She did get hit the pain meds a little bit, but she just to sleep, she just wanted to sleep a lot, so at the in the right after the incident for a few months, but it was so easy to take her down that road because it does happen, she argued, literally she was arguing with me. She's like, that's not who I am. And it was interesting because even her particular story with her background and her father and just, how she was raised, you kind of figure she would go down that route, but, she's just different, so...
That's awesome. I want to hear more. Do you have a reading for us?
Yes, I do. I would love to read. I'm going to
awesome.
Read the very, it's the prologue. It's the very first of the book. And I'm,
okay.
Okay. You ready? Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Raindrops sporadically hit me. I slowly open my eyes only slightly to blurry darkness. My head is so heavy and pounding as if my brain is using a mallet to escape my skull. I ease my hand up and claw at the thin wire ligature wrapped around my neck. I moan at the torment the small movement causes. I am able to loosen it and pull it down, leaving it to hang like a necklace. When I go to remove the item that was shoved in my mouth, my thumb hooks on the end of the thin noose, and I realize it is actually the earbuds I was wearing. I pull the item out of my mouth, and it, too, is something I had on, my panties. With panties clutched in my hand, my arm falls back to wet ground. I lie there and listen to the wheezing and gurgling with every shallow breath I take and release. A thick wall of iron floats in the air, fills my nostrils, and paints my tongue. My entire body aches in agony. I have no idea how long I have been unconscious. It is dark, so it has to be past 9. My parents should be home, but unless my fiancé called them, they have no idea I am not with him. Then I remember my attacker reaching over to grab my panties up near my head. I reach my arm out and well, ow. I freeze lying there. The pain is unbearable. My body is shaking and I'm freezing. Alex, you have to do something or you'll die out here. I pat the ground around me above my head, moving my arm slowly down. As I sweep a quarter radius, my hand hits a rough, cylindrical object. I know immediately it is the branch that was used to beat me. I grab it, even though a mix of my blood, along with the rain, caused it to be slippery in my grip, and use it as an extension of my arm. Although straining, I sweep the ground above my head, and it catches something. I pull the branch towards me, hoping that I've hooked my shorts. My breathing is still shallow, but has become intense, labored, almost hyperventilating. The wheezing and gurgling are deafening. I run my hand up the branch to the end until I reach something soft, my shirts. I moved my hand along the piece of clothing and hit something hard. I searched for the pocket and then slid my hand into it. I pull out the personal emergency GPS locator fob, and my thumb slides instantly across the button. I exhale as a tiny sense of relief runs through me, and warm tears fall out of my eyes, rolling down my face. I have no idea where my phone is, but I press the button 3 times. Please, God, I do not want to die. I begin choking, followed by horrible coughing. Then my body floats in and out of darkness. I am going to die in these woods. In my vague fog of temporary consciousness, I simply lie there, inhaling the aroma of musky earth mixed with a tinge of iron from my blood and a hint of pine. Scents that used to give me so much comfort are repulsing me to gag. Images of being defiled continuously flash in my mind. I jerk every time there is a movement in the woods around me, afraid he's returning for more. Then I can make out a pitter-patter of steps in the distance. Oh, my God, he's returning. No, I gasp and claw at the ground, moving myself like a slug towards the wood line and grunting along the way. As I move past the print, I pick it up and use it as a lever against the ground, helping to propel myself forward. When I get to the edge of the path, there's a natural ditch that was formed into a deep crevice, and a stream from the rain flows through. The footsteps are getting closer, and fear consumes me. I close my eyes in hell. Alex, you can do this. I summon every bit of willpower in my body and pull the branch up to me. I shove it into the ground and push off of it. My body falls into the incline, a spin, rolling down. I hug the branch to my chest, and I come to a rest in the watery ditch. I pull myself into a fetal position, holding the branch as some sort of mental security. The water trickles around me, and I'm convinced this is going to be my grave. The footsteps are upon me now. The fear adds to the chill, causing me to shake violently. I grit my teeth together, afraid the clatter will give me my location away. Good Lord, a familiar voice exclaims, followed by a flashlight in my direction. Alex, help me, I quietly rasp, and then add, Sheriff. He appears, standing above me and shining his light down towards me. Jesus. He moves the light over my body. I pull my shirt down just before the light hits my midsection. What happened to you? He pulls his radio up to his face and states, I found her. We need EMTs. They're on their way, his voice replies. Tell them to put some lead into it. They need to get here now, damn it, he orders. Help me, I plead. It's on its way, hun. He carefully makes his way down to me. I don't want to die, my voice cracks. You're not going to die. Just hang in there. He goes to grab the branch. My grip tightens on it. It's okay. Let go of the branch, hun. I slowly release my hold. He takes it and lays it on the ground. Then he removes his jacket and lays it on top of me. What happened to you? He repeats the question from earlier. He shines the light on my head and gently touches the top, examining it. I jerk away from his hand. No, don't touch me. He moves his hand away. Okay. I was attacked by an animal? It dawns on me what I must look like and the extent of my injuries. Mauled by an animal. I shake my head, close my eyes, and reply, no. A person, he gasps. No normal human being could imagine inflicting such torment on another unless you are an animal. I nod. Good Lord.
Wow. That's intense
wow.
stuff.
I have goosebumps. It is. And I was wondering, as a woman, how difficult was it to write that scene?
Oh, it was, it's really, really, really difficult. It's hard for me to even reread it. Sometimes when I was rereading it to send to you, I mean, I start getting kind of cracky voice doing it, but it's very hard. I mean, you know, as a writer, you put yourself in those scenes, you know, to make mm-hmm. sure you try to get, and just to try to get the mindset of it, it's just really hard. And it can put you in a dark place, hear of what character actors or actors that, method. Yeah, that's what I think of whenever I write, So, but yeah, it was tough. And, she went through a hell of a lot, and she ends up, really giving them hell of a lot. So.
That's awesome. I when you say that, she gives them, I picture Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she's this little, this little blonde chick,
yeah.
But yeah, she kicks ass, and I love that.
Yeah.
I do. When I'm reading, I mean, I go back and forth between reading, romance and horror, and
mm-hmm.
when I am reading romance, I have a thing with, I do not like weak women. I don't. I want some,
yeah.
Because... you know, and we talk about it and we kind of bash on the show occasionally Fifty Shades of Grey, you know, for, you know, the book.
Boo!
Anna was just so...
Boo!
Yes. Oh, my God.
Joining in.
Anna was just so mousy, and she was always, you know, looking at up at him through her eyelashes and
oh,
you know,
biting her lip. She bites her lip once more, I'm gonna bust it. Seriously.
Yeah.
Smack that bitch in the mouth. That's what I said.
Wow.
Or words
like
to that effect.
I did. Which, you know,
yeah.
I have to say, after reading the books and watching the movies, I really love the character in the movies better than the books. I mean, she, you know, she had a strength to her that they did not portray in the books. So I did enjoy that.
I'm with you. I think the books would have been a lot better had she been, a strong woman, a CEO or a... you know,
definitely.
Marine or just some tough, and to have him then dominate that instead. I mean, anybody could. My cat. I don't have a cat. I just totally lied. Totally made up a pet that I don't have. I do not have a cat, people. So my cat didn't dominate anything. I think my guinea pig could have dominated whatever her name was. Anna, you know, but yeah, it might have been. But then again, I think that would have been too difficult for E.L. James to have written. You know, she had to start with a mousy girl, and she's mousy all the way through, easily dominated. And
she needed to be
end.
Saved, you know.
Yeah,
it was,
definitely.
It was,
she needed to be saved. It was terrible.
To be fair, for somebody that kind of money, I'd have let him spank me, to be honest with you, for a slice of that money.
Yes.
I'm not proud.
I want pictures. If that ever is to occur, I definitely need pictures.
No problem. I'm sure that can be arranged.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you, it said up here, you know, occasional naughty poet. Tell me more about this naughty poetry. I'm a poet.
I write erotic poetry from like a BDSM, with BDSM elements to it. And so I just enjoy it. I started not with erotic poetry, but that was my first love of writing as a kid, was poetry. And then when I got up older, you know, I was introduced to erotic poetry. And I loved the idea of reading lines and affecting someone by it, you know, and so, or getting affected by it. And so... I have two books out under that, but you know, I just enjoy it. It's a nice break. I haven't done one in a while, but normally I'll do one once a year just to have a nice break from the, you know, the books.
Yeah. I love poetry, and I don't read enough of it, to be honest, being that I write it so often. Do you rhyme or are you a free verse?
Free verse. I like to. I'm not big in. It just depends. You know, I'll do both. You know, but I'm not really big into the, you know, rhyming. I just don't. Some I will. And usually it's tempo. I don't know, tempo. I'm not like to. You know, I don't. But I'm like tempo. That's what I like. Is when you read it, there feels like there's a flow to it. You know, I had one of my a reader talk about. How, you know, when you read it, you kind of have to read it. You have to slow read it. You have to, you know, feel it, you know. And so that's what I see it as. I would love to do one of those, beat poet kind of deal. I've been asked to, but, you know, I can't stand up there in front of everybody reading naughty poetry. How much fun, you know. But, no, seriously, I've had people say, I'd really like you to come on and, you know, do that. I'm thinking, okay.
That's awesome though, and what are you working on now?
Well, I'm actually about to publish my second book in my my Dom Sub romance. It's the second book to the first one, and so which naturally his was the first one. The second one is called Ever Deepening Hers, and so that's what I'm about to publish. So, second one to that one.
Awesome. And whenever I'm talking to, especially, you know, one of the erotica authors, I want to know what do you like to read? Who's your favorite author?
Well, my all-time favorite author is Dean Koontz. He's my all-time
awesome.
Favorite.
What's your favorite book by him?
It would be Odd Thomas. That's my favorite. I love that series.
Oh.
And so that's my all-time favorite book. And so it's very kind of culty, but I loved how he wrote that character, you know. But I've read so many of him. I started as a teen reading his stuff, which is funny because, you know, he writes pretty, you know. But I love him. He's my all-time favorite author that, he'd be like someone I'd play fangirl over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've become to respect Stephen King. I've never been crazy about him. I respect him, of course, you know, but I've become to be more open to him lately, so.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge Dean Koontz fan, but I have read a number of his books that I absolutely loved. The first one I read by him was False Memory, and that was good. And I then I remember reading Intensity, and I know they made that into
yes.
a movie that I don't think was very good or whatever, but
yeah,
the book, oh my gosh,
I
was holding my breath during some of those scenes, just like, oh, my God, you know what I mean? That was great, and that was a perfect title, Intensity, because I was totally, I was tense.
Have you read The Husband? That's a good one, too, that's on this. I mean, most of his stuff is like, Thomas was, it really delves a little bit more into kind of sci-fi, in the, you know, world stuff of his, you know, but Husband's really good for that edge of the seat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Dark Rivers of the Heart was one of my favorites by him. They, you know, he had some really good ones. I think that when he first came out, it was a lot more horrific, his stuff was, and then I think it kind of, I want to say, mellowed out a little bit. Like when he was doing, like, I think it was like By the Light of the Moon, and then from the Corner of His Eye. It was around that phase that I was reading like everything he wrote, and it was really good. It was, you know, very psychological. You know, I mean, it wasn't as horrific as I thought he was, which I liked better.
Yeah.
I did. So.
And I like, too, because he is a dog person. He also adds dog characters, and I did that. I did that in Fractured Wings. I have a dog character in Fractured Wings, and I love that. I love whenever, because that's everyday stuff, you know, and people have dogs, and I'm one of those, and so I love whenever, you know, authors do that.
Definitely. Either throw in an animal or a kid, and I'm usually pretty happy there. Make it a little more real.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So I was surprised that you didn't give me a romance author that you like to read.
Well, I read erotic romance on occasion. Usually, the reason I don't is because I'm writing and I don't like to interfere with that part of it. I don't like to read the same genre that I write. I tend to like more thrillers, murder mysteries. You know, the reason I chose erotic romance is because, or what I write, which is, what I started off writing was erotic thrillers, and the reason I chose to do that is because I was reading thrillers or mysteries, and then I was reading erotic romance, and I wanted them to be combined, you know, and one would always have a heavier one of the other, and so I wanted to do a storyline where you have, you know, the plot, they're kind of parallel, you know, parallel storylines of things going along each other, and I do it pretty, you know, I feel like I did it pretty well. I mean, I've had people tell me I did it pretty well, but I did it for myself because that's what I wanted to read, you know, and so, but, you know, I really tend to stay away from, because I don't want to throw in, I don't know, part of me fears that if I read an erotic romance while I'm writing erotic romance, I'm going to throw in something that I read in another book, or, you know, just by, you know, subconscious or whatever, and so I just don't want to do that. And now I have read, I sometimes will read male I get a male perspective. I learn things by male perspective, or I talk to other, you know, to males. But especially authors, they're able to describe certain things that I wouldn't think about putting in there. So I've learned stuff about thing,
yeah,
to describe
definitely.
Certain things that I would never think about describing.
You know, it's funny that I've read certain books when the author will go back and forth and the POVs of the male character and the female character. And I have
mm-hmm.
to say that I've read a few where, you know, I will have to go back a few pages and figure out who is talking here, because there's no, you know, differentiating the two characters. And I'm sorry, but men and
yeah.
women do not think the same. We don't have the same thoughts or feelings at all. So that really
yeah.
takes me right out of the story. So I think, you know, I have read it where it's successful in transitioning and making you actually realize, okay, we're in the guy's head now. We're in the girl's head. But that's not always
yes.
the case. It really isn't. And I don't think I
yeah.
could write a male character believable. I don't think that I could, especially from, you know, a first-person point of view. I don't think I could do it.
Yes. I actually, at this moment, I'm working on a project that I take on that role, and
uh-huh.
as a male, a detective, homicide detective, and it was something that I wanted to do. I didn't think I'd ever do it. Now, something I wanted to do to take on. It's been fun and interesting because I have to, because I've been writing female point of view, and I am a female, but I've been writing female point of view all along, and it's just certain things, like, for instance, he walked into the closet, and my female character would have started describing the shoes or something, and I had to actually sit back and go, okay, no, guy's not going to care about shoes, you know, I mean, he didn't even care about those shoes, you know? So I had to. It is funny. People are, you know, I remember telling somebody about that, and they're like, oh, you know, that's so true that, you know, that you would have a little bit different. Because, you know, I write, you know, female characters that describe stuff that, you know, that really pull stuff out, you know. And so it's been fun. It's been fun because I've been able to use it's been a really just, you know, like having sex, that's been, I thought it was interesting to me to write that part of it, to write a male's point
right.
of view, you know, of having that. And so that was really interesting to me. And then, you know, just the hard assness of this guy, you know, and what he would say and get by with, and, you know, what a woman wouldn't, you know. So it's been fun. It's been challenging, but
yeah.
it's been fun. And it's been a really fun ride to write a male. So I don't know if it's not something, I don't know if I would, you know, continue doing, but it's something I wanted to do. So to challenge myself.
I've had so much fun with you on the show tonight.
Yeah.
We are out of time for our first segment, but
yes.
you have to promise to come back and see us, and I'll have to book you the next time for the whole show, and we can, you know, bash other erotica authors and just have a great time. It'll be fun.
Oh, good. I did too.
Awesome.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
No, thank
tell
you.
Us real quick where,
thank you so
yeah,
much.
Tell us real quick where we can find you online.
My website, crlemons.com, and then Amazon.
Awesome. Awesome. And I will be stalking you soon to get you to come back. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's been,
enjoyed
it's
it.
Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Okay. Right. We need to, we'll go on a quick break, a quick wee break, and then we will be right back. So here we go.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Bye.
Duh! Welcome back to part two.
Well, we are back, and welcome back. Hopefully Xtina's there. Are you still there, Mom?
I am. I was just grooving along to the music and, fetching out a little bit. It was nice.
A little bit of ELO there, which is awesome. One of my favorite bands of all time. We have not been this for a while. Here we go.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
So, what is new, pussy? You have no idea at all, do you?
I was going to say, I have no idea, so why don't you tell me what's new?
Speaking of pussycats, I feel bad about lying earlier to C.R. Lemons about having a cat. Why did I say cat? Of all the animals we have in this house, the first one that pops into my head is one I don't have, which is like, what? But what is new? What is new? What is new? What is new? I don't know. Stuff.
Really? You got nothing? Stuff?
I did read an article that they are the remake of Pet Sematary is well underway. The TV series of Nosferatu by Joe Hill is going to be coming to AMC soon.
Why would they remake Pet Sematary? That's an amazing movie on its own.
I know. They're just remaking it because it's cheap. Like I say, all they need to do is put out the original. I remember watching that years ago on VHS.
I want to watch it again right now. Yeah.
Watch it. I will probably watch, the remake, and hopefully it's not as bad as the Poltergeist remake. What I am looking forward to do is the new Halloween movie, which is out, I guess, later this month, obviously. That looks phenomenal.
It really does.
Fantastic.
And I'm a fan of the Rob Zombie remakes, which are nothing at all like the original story.
Yeah. This is not a remake. This is another story. And even more exciting. And I just saw an ad, I think, on Facebook or whatever. Probably when I was doing a bit of research about Tex Christopher. That name again, Tex Christopher.
Hashtag.
There's a new hashtag TexChristopher.com. Save the whales and giraffes and whatnot, but not the gay ones, obviously, because Jesus says being gay is wrong. So there's there are passages in the Bible about not laying with a man as you would a woman and blah 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 blah, and it's just all. There are also passages about stoning people to death if they wear mixed fabric on a Friday. Which is a bit harsh for wearing your cotton polyester mix. If it's in the Bible. Plus, there's the bit about Job, who, had sex with his daughters. In fact, incest is very popular in the Bible. It's a popular theme, which is what makes you wonder why Amazon have not banned it, to tell you the truth. Sacrificing your children. I mean, it's all in there. There's some jolly good yarns, if you like murdering kids and incest, obviously. There's something for everyone, I feel. There's a new standalone Thomas Harris book out soon. I didn't actually catch a date on that, and that I'm excited about. I love Thomas Harris. He's written about, I think, five books, and which is phenomenally successful with the Hannibal Lecter series.
Yeah, definitely.
But another one, I'm excited about that. I really am. I love Thomas Harris.
There was one, the dragon one.
Red Dragon.
Somebody was out in a tree stalking. That creeped me out. That seriously creeped me out. It was great.
That was the pre... That was the precursor to Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs, obviously, the movie came out, and it all. They made the first film into a movie called Manhunter with, funnily enough, the guy who played Gil Grissom in CSI. And that was really, really good. They made the remake, which they called it Red Dragon, which was very good, actually.
Yeah,
and that was the thing. The guy would I mean, that was the case that they had to crack, was how did this guy know enough he would poison, you know, yeah, if he had a pet dog, it would be poisoned like a week before. And like I say, they found out he was sat up a tree watching his family for weeks.
So creepy.
And he knew all that. And I think what I really got to me was the whole home invasion thing. I mean, that's probably the genre that really does get to me, because you're supposed to feel safe in your home. You know, he did horrible things to these, and he targeted families, and it was just all very unpleasant, but incredibly well done, as was Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, and then obviously Hannibal Rising. You know, the whole thing, but a standalone would be fantastic. It'd be great to see what he does next. So that's my exciting bit of news.
No, the only exciting thing I had going on, and it's not even exciting. I was, you know, if you hadn't been back before the break ended, I was going to talk baseball. I was, and that's all I had.
Oh, I'm glad I got back then.
I know, right?
Saved our listener from private hell.
You don't know. They could be baseball fans. Every one of them right now could be baseball fans, and just hoping I will mention, you know, the fact that the playoffs are starting tomorrow. So, you know, there's that. Woo! But my team didn't make it. My team was...
Strike one!
I've two words to say to that. Shite!
Now, what's the other one?
Shite!
You see, you had to go too far. I let you get away with it, but you just went way too far.
I was going
to
say I could feel that I was pressing my luck there, but I just kept going. Yeah.
Yeah, much like a baseball game, you just kept going on and on and on.
I know.
So, what happens now? Do we review things on this show anymore? I don't know. I have no idea what goes on next.
That was our little bit of a review. I think we didn't have a jingle or anything, but I think we talked about some books.
Well,
we'll
run with that. That was our watch new segment rather than reviewing segment. But maybe we can review something next week. But what excited me, and it's not often I'm allowed out of the home. We had a book launch for Texas Roadkill Volume 3 on Saturday at Fleur Fine Books in Port Neches here in Texas. That's Fleur Fine Books, folks, that name again. And it was great. It's great. I got to meet a bunch of the other authors that were in it, which was fantastic. Hi, if you're listening, folks. It was great. It was fun. We had some people came and bought books, and we did readings, and you know, sat and chatted, and it was good. It's nice for me to get out of the house every now and then. So the book's been incredibly well. It's a great, great volume. So buy the book.
I've seen the pictures. Yeah, I've seen the pictures that you've been tagged in. It looks really exciting.
And they're up on the website in our news section. So check out our new website. So yeah, it was good. It was good fun. I enjoyed it. It's always nice to meet. I always feel like a bit of a fraud. You know, like people ask, can you sign this? Well, hang on, you pay good money for this. You want me to scribble in it? And really, I don't feel that I should be doing that. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm worthy of actually. Why are you asking for my autograph? You know, but
do I know what? When I sent you Dark Musings, that was the very first book I had ever signed, and I spent a whole weekend, you know, scribbling my name on a piece of paper so that I could do it neatly in the book, and then it still looked like chicken scratch. I know. First book.
Do you know that is one of my treasured possessions? That is sat on my shelf between my signed Clive Barker Scarlet Gospels, my by James Herbert, signed Ash. So there, wow. You're amongst good company on my bookshelf there. And just along the way, I've got my Chuck Palahniuk as well, which is also signed. So, you are amongst good company there. So,
awesome.
And the people down at Fleur Fine Books are always great. You know, great, great bunch of guys there. Always look after us and always welcoming. It's a great book, great bookstore as well. They do a lot of limited editions, a lot of signed editions, and they can if you want something, they can get you. It's funny enough, actually, they were one of the authors, Shauna, because obviously everybody asks, you know, what's your favourite? And her favourite is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, would you believe?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would believe it. That's a great book. Yeah, I adore that.
Yeah, it was just like, wow, you know. And I have to say, I mean, I only read it because you recommended it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's
great.
The first time I read it, I had... You know, I'm a huge baseball fan now, but when I read it the first time, nothing. I mean, so some of the scenes that, you know, you could hear being played out on the radio, I was lost, and I still enjoy the book so much. I mean, the scenes of this little girl being lost out there in the woods, it was just so real, and I felt it.
I
loved
and it.
It
was. Yeah, and it was. Yeah. You were there with her, and I think because it tugged at me on two levels. One, as a kid, you know, as being a kid, and every kid at some point has been, and I use the word, you know, loosely, lost. You know, you turn around in the supermarket and your parents not there. I remember being, we were on vacation on a beach, it was sort of dusk, and I remember it clearly. We were, a load of fish had been swept up on the shore, us and a whole bunch of other people, were just throwing the fish back, and I turned round and my mum and dad weren't there. I mean, they were they were just a little bit further down the beach. And it was like that panic. So as a kid, as a parent, we've all done it. I've lost my kids in HEB more times, seriously. And you turn around. In fact, funny, when my daughter was a lot smaller, she had a habit of, she would just be behind me, and I just turn your head, and she's not there. Mm-hmm. And that absolute all-encompassing, gripping panic. So it works on both levels, from the as a parent, and it's a small. I mean, for King, I mean, it's a little. It's more of a novella, really, but it works so well. It's a neat story.
It is. It really is. And with the way, you know, she was just stepped off the path for a second, and just that quickly. And I did love the fact that, you know, because he can go on and on, Stephen King can, and, you know, some of the books are just crazy long. So for it just to have been, you know, what was it? It wasn't even 150 pages, was it? I mean, it was pretty short. But it was great. The whole thing just worked great. And
it was one of those had it been longer, it would have spoiled it. You know, it was just perfect.
Definitely. It was
just perfect. And I've mentioned this on the show before, you know, sometimes we write short stories or a novella or whatever, and I've got a few short stories I would love to develop that into a novel, but I can't because it would just ruin it. It's perfect. It's whatever, 8,000 words, and it's perfect. Just leave it. Just leave it.
Don't try and expand it. I don't think you know the definition of a short story, though. I mean, you know, I remember editing an anthology, and I come to your short story. It's like 25 pages. I'm like, that's not a short story. It was awesome, though. I mean, you know,
I have to say. I'm actually working on now for an anthology that Chris Roy is putting together. With Stanley Wiotta, actually, is writing the forward, which is fantastic. Chismar's in it, obviously. Some great people in it, obviously, even greater now I'm in it.
Exactly.
And I've got to chop this story down. It's currently just short of 8,000. I've got to chop 3,000 words out there.
Wow.
And it's just like, but how? Oh, I don't want to chop any. Don't make me chop any words out. But I'm going to have to, you know.
Right.
And I will. I'll chop it down without spoiling it. But I'm still working on that. Still working on brevity.
To say about your short stories is that they never feel like a short story because you have fleshed the characters out so much. There's so many times that I read a short story and you don't really connect with the main characters or any of the characters just because they are so one-dimensional. But that's not the case when it comes to your writing. So even when it's a short story, you know, your characters are all so well-rounded and so real. You bring them to life, even if it's just
a short story. I have to do that for me. Otherwise, if the characters are one-dimensional, I don't care about them, and the story just won't work. So.
We don't either.
Anywho. So we now have a guest. We have, he said,
horror
we've got David Gray. We've
Yay.
Got David Gray. So I did actually know it was David Gray, but I was pretending I didn't know while I found the little button to press. So a bit of radio magic there that I've now just given away. But we have. Let's bring him in. David, how are you, sir?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great tonight.
Hey, how are you doing? Good. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me on.
No, thank you. Thank you. And David is the esteemed author of Gamble's Run, which is a phenomenal book. I think we reviewed it on the show when it was launched a month or so back. A phenomenal, creepy, scare the crap out of you horror novel, which is
set
in the deepest, darkest unpleasantness of Florida. Yeah, and the tagline, which is probably one of the best taglines ever written, he said.
It is.
ask me who wrote it, Xtina.
Who wrote the tagline, James?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Xtina, because it was actually me. The tagline is "Forgotten waters run deep," which I think is encapsulates the. Hopefully, David's happy with the tagline. He never said.
Quite
might hate
very
it.
Happy,
so.
Very happy.
So, David, I mean, Gamble's Run. Tell us a bit more about it, sir.
Okay, before we do that, there's one thing I really just have to get off my chest about. I've been following the discussion from earlier, and I just have to say this. And you're probably going to hate me for it, but I don't like giraffes.
Oh no!
I just have to put it out there and just tell you I don't like giraffes. I'm sorry.
What do you know? What is the not to like? I mean, you just got to think about necks or long legs.
I think
they're No, I just think they're dinosaur wannabes, and I find that pretentious.
That's great.
Well,
you had a good answer for it too. Yeah.
I hope you appreciate that because I was working on it the whole time you were doing the interview.
That's great. You know, like I say, we're live and let live. And if you are a giraffe hater, then I guess we're going to have to live with that. But,
we all have our issues.
We do.
Well, I'm pretty ambivalent.
I think David's next novel is going to be Rise of the Planet of the Giraffes or something. Which, to be fair, would be a brilliant novel. Brilliant novel.
Yeah, something along the line of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But with giraffes in it.
Yes. I think we're on to something here, James.
We should collaborate, definitely. So anyway, David,
yes, sir.
Gamble's Run. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Well, it started out, you're talking about short stories turning into novels. About 6-7 years ago, I wrote a short story called The Slave Canal, and it's based on a real location not far from where I live. It's in Central Florida. It's a fascinating history. I ran across the short story came about because I ran across a little tiny article in a small town newspaper talking about a place called the Slave Canal, and I did some research into it. And back in the mid-18th century, a wealthy cotton grower named John Gamble was having issues getting his cotton down to the Gulf of Mexico. The river he kept using had a bad habit of disappearing underground, and it would end in like this Everglade place, called the Warriors, and he needed to get it over to another river and go, which was a straight shot to the Gulf of Mexico. So he came up with, him and his cronies came up with this brilliant idea to dig a 2.5 mile canal between the two rivers, open it up so they could take a straight shot down to the Gulf. Now, being a plantation owner and a slave owner, naturally he had his slaves dig the canal. And I don't know what you know about Florida, but we are very humid, very hot, and in the summer it can be very miserable. So just to imagine what those poor people went through to build dig the thing is really unimaginable. And the sad thing is, it was a colossal failure. It was dug too shallow, so the barges kept getting hung up on the bottom, and trees kept falling across the way, so they had to be cleared. And then not long after that, the railroad showed up, so that took care of the transportation duties. And not long after that, we had our Civil War, which kind of took care of the slaves. So, but the thing is, it's still there today. It's a, kind of a favorite place for day trippers to go canoeing, but it's an absolutely gorgeous place to see. It's just quintessential, beautiful Florida scenery. But I wrote a story called The Slave Canal. It's your basic ghost story, and then came up with a plot not long after that to Gamble's Run and started writing it, and here we are today.
Fantastic.
So, speaking of Florida, what part of Florida are you in?
Well, right now I'm in Tampa, which is on the Gulf side, halfway down the state on the Gulf side.
I lived many years in St. Pete, and and then more recent I was in Ocala, which I feel bad for you. Why are you still in Florida? Florida is so hot and so miserable. You know, to be honest, when I was in St. Pete, it wasn't quite as bad because, you know, mm-hmm. you had the breeze, you know, from being so close to the water and stuff. So it wasn't as bad. But when I lived like 10 years in Ocala, and that is just mm-hmm. I don't have to worry. You know, if I were going to hell, I would be prepared. I'm like, you know, hey, I did time in Florida. I am good. Let's go. You know, because it's just hell. It really is. I would not wish that upon anybody. But okay, so that's all I had to say about Florida. I had to get that off of my chest.
I will only say this, you're not wrong.
Yeah, right, right.
You're right. I mean, I'm a frequent visitor to St. Pete, my wife and I. Interestingly enough, I grew up in the 70s in Cincinnati, home of the, and I don't know if, as a baseball fan, you might appreciate this, the era of the Big Red Machine. Does that ring a bell?
No, it doesn't really. I have to say, I'm a Blue Jays fan. You know, people yeah. call me a traitor for, you know, like in a Canadian team. So if it doesn't have to do with the Blue Jays, I'm really kind of oblivious. So
okay, well, no big deal. Just enough to say that the 1975 Cincinnati Reds were the absolute greatest baseball team to ever grace the field in the history
wow.
of baseball and the universe. So there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Moving on.
I want to hear more about I want to hear more about Gamble's Run. So we have, instead of reading, we have a clip from the audiobook, I believe, right?
Oh yes, we do. This is the audiobook, which should be out hopefully before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It is being worked on by David's son, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, by my son Dan. He's in the middle of it right now, and I'm very excited for the work he's doing.
Yeah, me too.
It sounds good. So, tell you what, let's play the clip. Here we go.
Chapter 1, The Hungry Earth. Garrett Webb awoke with a start, his heart pounding. He wiped away the thin sheen of sweat that covered his forehead as he struggled to regain full awareness. The nightmare that had been tormenting him vanished in a dark puff of dream smoke, leaving him with nothing more than a fading impression of being slowly smothered. The only light came from the glowing red numbers of the small clock perched on the nightstand beside his queen-sized bed. He barely had time to see that it was 4:05 a.m. before they winked out. An instant later, his bed lurched sideways and slammed into the wall. His left shoulder struck the wall at an awkward angle, causing him to cry out in both pain and shock. Instinctively, he reached out for the woman sleeping next to him. "Mel! Mel!" An instant later, his wife Melody cried out as she, too, was brutally dragged back into consciousness. Her arm flailed out, slapping him hard on his stomach. He was shirtless, and her fingernails scraped along his ribs, leaving four thin, bloody scratches. The bed lurched again. "Molly!" she screamed. Of course, her first thought was for their 10-month-old daughter. On cue, Molly started crying. Husband and wife struggled to get out of bed, but suddenly the floor tilted. The bed slid along the wall, away from Molly's bedroom, and stopped under the window that overlooked the lake just outside their petite home. The lake had dried up during the long drought that gripped central Florida, and all that was left was a hard, cracked bed. "Molly!" screamed Melody again. The house answered them with another groan, and suddenly the window shattered. Shards of glass pummeled them. If they had been looking up, they would have been blinded. As it was, they sustained dozens of painful, shallow cuts. "Garrett, what's happening?" Garrett opened his mouth to say that he had no idea, but suddenly a wall of dirt followed the glass. He covered his eyes and mouth and rolled sideways as the dirt piled onto the bed. Melody screamed again. She scrambled off the bed and fell to the floor. Then she began to crawl toward the bedroom door. "Mel, wait! Molly!" Melody's only thought now was for her daughter. In the next bedroom, Molly's cries became screams. The tiny wood frame house shook as dirt continued to pour through the bedroom window. "We're going to die," thought Garrett. For a moment, he was more amazed than afraid. How could a perfectly normal night transform into this kind of insanity? Melody had put Molly down early. He had ordered pizza, and the two of them had eaten while they watched television. Afterward, there had been long, slow lovemaking. Garrett was not due at work until 9 the next morning, and they had stayed up late, talking about their plans for their new life. Both had been born and raised in Kentucky, but Gainesville was their home now. They were rapidly falling in love with the Florida city. It had been a plain and simple night. The best kind of night. "No," he spat out the word, along with a mouthful of dirt. "We are not going to die like this." He was 2/3 right. Melody was almost to the door, but it was an uphill climb. She scrambled against the hardwood floor until she reached the door frame. She grabbed it and held tight. Molly's screams were frantic now. Garrett knew that they had seconds to get to her. He crab-crawled across the bed. He was wearing only nightshorts, and shards of glass sliced into his hands, knees, and feet. He ignored the stabbing pain and lunged forward, falling to the floor. Something ripped deep inside his calf. He screamed, but kept moving forward. He could see everything, even though the bathroom light at the end of the hall was off. It was the only light they had left on. He wasted a moment to wonder how seeing in the dead of night was possible. Then he glanced up and got his answer. Both ceiling and roof were split down the length of the house. Directly overhead, a full moon shone down, bathing everything in a harsh gray glow.
Oh, I think that's it. I think that was it. That was awesome.
Oh, it would just cut fantastic. Off like that. I kept waiting for, you know, maybe to turn a page or something.
Yeah,
really. Whoever wrote that, you really should sign to a contract or something.
Did you know, I think we should. I think we should. We need to. That was beautifully read. It translates beautifully to audiobook format. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I'm really
to come
pleased
out.
With Dan's work. I'm really pleased with Dan's work too. I mean, and I'm really excited to see Hellbound's new audio line come out. I can't wait to see what other books you're going to do.
If you check out the website, there's the I've got sort of a sneaky peek. You can see the ones that are coming up between now and hopefully the end of the year. But as we will be rolling, as we get into next year, we're rolling more out. So it's quite an eclectic mix, actually. And it's good. And it is a great format. I know a lot of people who are audiobook fans. So I think certainly for people on the go. And it's so easy. You can just, you know, slap it on your phone or your iPod or whatever and stick your earbuds in and off you go. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could certainly embrace it myself.
Yeah, the town, Gainesville, that was right next door to you know, where I lived in, in Florida, Ocala. And do you know that the funny thing, did you hear the story about, they say that love bugs were concocted in the University of Gainesville. Did you hear that story that, what is an urban legend? Yeah, that's what they say, which is just preposterous, but, that they could be generated in a lab. But that was the story that went on there. So, but now I did find
Brilliant.
It interesting that, here he, lives in Tampa, and I was in St. Pete, and then he's writing about Gainesville, and I live right next door there. So it's a small world, and, Florida sucks.
Something interesting. This is kind of interesting. Well, I don't know if it's interesting to you or not, but my dad, when we lived in Cincinnati, my dad was a Florida nut, so he brought us down here every year on vacation, and we would stay at a little hotel or motel, actually, in St. Petersburg called the Happy Dolphin. And it's now called the Dolphin Inn, but that was our vacation place, and actually still is.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know if I recognize that name. No, now I'm going to have to look it up.
You're probably familiar with the Don Cesar, right? The big pink hotel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Go ahead.
It's just north of there.
You know, I used to go swimming in the Don Cesar pool all the time. You know, if you just walk in like you belong there, nobody says anything to you.
I tried that once.
In there all the time. Yeah. It's
I was
beautiful.
Shown the door. It must be. Maybe it was the way you looked or something. I tried that once and I was quickly shown
work.
The door.
Oh,
it didn't
man.
Work.
No, it definitely. I walk in like you own the place, and yeah, it definitely worked for me. I enjoyed it.
Well, I tried
very
that,
much.
But unfortunately, when I walked into it, I was trying to act like I owned the place, but I was wearing a swimsuit and a T-shirt, and everybody when I walked in, everybody's wearing tuxedos. So that made
oh wow.
Oops.
That's awesome.
Yeah, big oops.
Well, David, tell us where we can find you online.
Well, you can look at me, find me on the first off on Hellbound's on my Hellbound authors page. I also have an author's David F. Gray author page to Facebook, and of course Amazon.
Awesome. We will. I'll have your links put up on our Facebook page, and if anybody wants to stalk David, or if they want to stalk CR Lemons, they can go to our Facebook page and do it from there. And I want to thank you for coming on the show. You have to promise to come back and see us.
It was a genuine pleasure, and I look forward to it.
Awesome, awesome. And we're out of time for the night, and I thank
I
you
know.
Very much for
I know.
I
know it's gone by far too quickly. Thank you for joining us, David. It's been an absolute pleasure to finally get to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a milestone for me, so I really thank you very much. It was a genuine pleasure.
Brilliant. And we will have you back on when the audiobook is launched, definitely.
Cool.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so I'm afraid it is that time, Xtina, when we have to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
You're 1,776 miles away from all of this back home, back home. You show me 50 stars, I'll give you 50 kisses from my soul. Oh, and every day I pledge allegiance to my girl, cause you're the reason my soul.